Thank you, Brother Zach. We appreciate that. Good singing, everyone. We sure enjoy those great hymns of the faith, all right? Well, we have a special speaker tonight. We actually have Brother Caleb Andrews with us and his family tonight. Good to see them visiting in. And so we've asked him to share the Word of God with us. No stranger to most of you. We're just going to allow him to come and share what God's laid on his heart. Brother Caleb, would you come? Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Amen. He says no stranger, but there's a lot of new faces, and I'm excited to see them. So actually, I'm a stranger, I guess, to a few. So as he said, just a little introduction. I'm Brother John Andrews' son. It's good to see everyone this evening. I see you have a big, giant clock now. I will definitely not be over. I can see it for sure. Reminds me of my first speech class. When I had my first speech class at PCC, they counted down every minute you went over, and it was like a minus grade. Well, I wasn't paying attention, and I ended up being 2 or 3 minutes over, and I told him, well, you know, I am a Baptist. We do go over, so I know y'all will understand as well. Tonight, I just wanted to share a scripture that I have always, I've heard the story that of Jesus that always made me question, and I'm one of those people, when I have a question, I got to figure it out. My son, who's 5 now, he asks the big question all the time. He's wanting to learn everything. He wanted to pick up everything. He asked the big question, why? So me, there's this scripture that's different. And so I ask, why? And I love this passage, what I've learned from it. It ended up being something small that God just really stirred in my heart to make something even bigger. And it was a blessing to me. And I want to just share the blessing with you guys too. So tonight, I'll even tell you the title of my message is, Do We See Jesus 2020? Do we see Jesus 2020? Where tonight we're going to have an eye test. So this was about 2 or 3 months ago with my job. I work for Frito-Lay. I drive a truck. We have to take a DOT physical. Part of the DOT physicals, we have to take an eye test. On the eye test, you know, they have the chart, the big giant E, like T-O-Z. I can almost memorize. I've had so many before. Well, I'm not very smart. I didn't bring my glasses to my DOT physical. And for those that do know me, when I was up here on the stage 5 years ago, we had the projector up there with the words for me to be able to read to follow along with you guys. And if I didn't have my glasses when I was up here, I couldn't even see the wall, the words on the wall from here. So my eyes are not the greatest. As you could tell, when I went to this DOT and didn't have my glasses, I go, Kristen, where are you at? So if I leave here and don't pass this eye test, I'm not going to be able to drive the truck. So will you please bring me my glasses? And so I was like, well, as long as you don't fail me, can I take the eye test without them and see how I do? I didn't get past T-O-Z, by the way, on the second line. I need my glasses to drive that truck. We found that out. But she brings the glasses. She doesn't fail me. She's like, yeah, sure. You know, as long as you wear your glasses while you're working, which I should. And so put the glasses on, and she's like, okay, so where do you think you can start on this eye test? What line can you start on? I was like, let's start at the next to last, and if I do well on that, we can challenge the third. So I went to the next to last. Yeah. Wow, you really did. Those glasses did a number on your eyes. You really can see with your glasses. I said, okay, let's try the last line. And man, I could see, I read the line, got it perfect too. I was like, hey, you want to go even deeper than that? And she was like, what do you mean? It was made in 1997 in China. I was reading the fine print underneath. I was like, man, I really can't see. I was like, I don't even know where to go update my prescription. I got a prescription. She's like, I've never seen this. I was like, I know. It was like, I really should start wearing my glasses more. So that was my eye test. I can see with my glasses 2020. Tonight we're going to read scripture, and I want us to evaluate the way we look at Jesus, and do we see Jesus 2020? Let's turn with me. Mark chapter 8 is where we will stay probably the majority of the time. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark chapter 8, 22. And it says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and say, bring, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town, when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and he said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands on him again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. He sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Let's pause there and pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Just thank you for this privilege, this opportunity. Lord, just to be in your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church and what they mean to me, this family that I have here, and the love that we share, the joy we have with each other, and just worshiping you. Lord, thank you for Brother Bobby and what he's done here at Beckwith, Lord. I just thank you for all you're doing here, and even in my life, Lord, in my family, coming back just to be able to see, and again, just see the work that you're doing here. Thank you for what you're doing in my family. And us, just thank you for the traveling grace to get here. Pray for everyone there in the holidays, Lord, that we have the right heart to have the heart of thanksgiving for what you've done to us and what you're going to continue to do with us, Lord, and just glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm sorry. I didn't even tell you to stand. All right, so we have a blind man. Now, in the Bible, it mentions blindness over 74 times. There's miracles of blindness, like I said, 74 times. But never did Jesus have a miracle like this. This is the only one, I did my research, only miracle that Jesus had that was not completed with the first try. If you read with me, so he has a blind man, or a blind man is brought to him, and he takes him by the hand, he leads him out of town. He takes him out of town, away from everyone else, and he puts spit in his eyes. Now, we've seen spit used before, but usually made clay or something like this. But this says he put spit in his eyes. Whether he put spit into his eyes or he spit on his eyes, I don't know, but he uses spit. He puts it on his eyes. He covers his eyes with his hands. He asked him, can he see? And his response was, I see men as trees walking. What a weird response. Now, when I did that DOT training or a DOT physical, when I looked, I was probably seeing men as trees walking because I was not seeing clearly. I needed my glasses. I was not being able to pass a physical. This man would not have been able to pass the physical. He was not seeing things clearly. Thank the Lord, did God leave him that way? No. God put his hands on him one more time and ask him if he could see, and he says he could see clearly. Now, like I said, I asked the big question, okay, why was this man not healed completely the first time? Why is this the only time out of 74 times it was done this way? Then I ask another question. If we read down to, verse 26, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. He doesn't want this to be spread around. And you can look in other verses. There's actually a deaf man in chapter 7. He also says, do not tell anyone. Now, why would he not want anyone to know that he's doing miracles? And so I ask these big questions. I'll be honest. I even went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I'm studying this verse, and there's some questions I have. I'm like, I don't fully understand why he's done this. He always knew what he told me. Well, you're reading verse 22 in chapter 8. Read what happens before and read what happens after. So I said, okay. So I'll take you to verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. Actually, I'm sorry. Let's go to verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth, and they began to question with him and seeking him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sought deeply in the spirit, and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Skip down to 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, as saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reason among them, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. Do you not remember? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, among how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. When the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Sounds like two different messages. So again, I'm going, why did he go from the Pharisees to the disciples to this blind man? Is this all together? We've seen it many times that Jesus was trying to get his message across, and a lot of times his followers, his disciples, did not see. And we've seen where he used parables, you know, a story to try to relate. And this, we see Mark. Mark is the gospel where it says he tries to bring Jesus to look as a servant. It's a humbling experience. He wants to show how Jesus came humbly. And so we see him taking the disciples, like I said, they got on the ship. So here we see these disciples. The disciples are talking about they didn't bring bread. We talk about the Pharisees. The Pharisees are wanting a sign. They're starting to question all these things that Jesus are, and they want more answers. Both of them are asking Jesus questions. Give us some signs that we can know who you are. The disciples are saying, are you going to provide for us? Prove to us that you can do it. And then he goes into the story of a blind man. Well, what does a blind man see? Nothing. He's in darkness. He can't see. And you see Jesus' response to the disciples. You have eyes and you cannot see. You have ears and you cannot hear. Kind of sounds like a blind man and a deaf man, right? You have eyes and you cannot see. What he means by that, these men at this point have already been walking with Jesus for years. He points out, he goes, you're worried about whether we have bread or not? I just fed 5,000. I just fed 4,000. And he goes, not only did I feed them, how much did you have left over? And they counted the baskets of what they had left over. And you're worried about whether we're going to eat or not? They were there and they saw it. But they don't see the faith now. And so I believe he says, if you can't see it, let me show you your blindness. So you have this blind man. I think it's very interesting. We know a few things about this blind man. He had friends to bring him to Jesus. And by what he said he saw the first time, he must have been able to see before, because he says he knows men and he knows trees. And he knew it wasn't right when he said he saw men as trees walking. He knows they're not supposed to be like that. So whatever he was seeing was not right. So therefore, we think that he probably saw before. So this blind man is brought to him. Now, how do you humble a blind man? You see, when Jesus did a miracle, it usually was a humbling experience that you could see that where they're like the lame man, he points out their sin. He says to the man that was lowered from the roof, he says, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. And go back to the Pharisees. The Pharisees say, who gave you the authority to forgive sins? His response is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? And the lame man gets up and walk. And so again, we're going to jump back and forth from Sadiq. So the Pharisees and the disciples were both in that sitting. And that time with the lame man. And their questions are, you know, we're seeing half. Well, they could tell they're only seeing half. They're not seeing clearly. But Jesus is more importantly wanting to aim for the heart. When he said the man's sins were forgiven, he was reaching for his heart and he was humbling the man even farther. How do you humble a man that's lame? You tell him how he's a sinner. He was humbling him even then. And again, like I said, Mark came to present the humbling side of Jesus. And Jesus has this blind man. How do you humble a blind man? Well, a lot of times people would say, if you spit in my face, that's very humiliating. Right? So if he put spits in your eyes, I mean, he could have said, Jesus, I already can't see. Why are you making fun of me? I think it's very interesting. You know, some of the situations we get put in, especially as Christians, we're walking with Christ and we go, God, are you picking on me? You know, I've been praying. I've been wanting answers, and it just seems like things just keep getting worse. Why are you making things worse for me? Are you faithful to me? Why are things worse? And he spits in this blind man's eyes. It doesn't say that he was humiliated, but notice Jesus took him out of town. He took Jesus away from everyone. He wasn't trying to embarrass anybody. He dealt with him one-on-one. So we have some things I know you can think of that, man, I'm going through a struggle. It's not getting better. In fact, I feel like I'm going down farther. It's getting harder. Jesus, are you still there? Just like the disciples are saying, Jesus, we're out of bread again. This is not the first time we've been out. Are you trying to help us? Are you even going to help us? So many times we feel like we're getting into a desperate mode. And then when we get desperate, we wonder if Jesus is still there. He takes his hands upon the blind man, and again, he doesn't leave us. Does he ever leave you desperate? Bible says you will never beg for bread, right? He will always be faithful for us. He never leaves us alone. He never leaves us, ever. When you are in that desperate mode and you're being humiliated and you're being humbled down, guess who's with you? He will exalt you in due time, right? So in this times here, here we see the blind man. He restores him. He says, open your eyes again after he sees only men as trees walking. And he says he is restored. He could have seen the fine print on the wall, I promise you. He probably saw better than 20/20, 10/10. You know, he saw. And very interesting. Like I said, here's my why questions. Why? Why did he tell him not to tell anybody? Why? He just did a miracle. You know, as us as Christians, we should be telling people the good news. Why? Well, at this time, we look back at the Pharisees. The Pharisees wanted a sign. They wanted to know who this Jesus is. If he's going to do all these miracles and do all these things, I need a sign. He says, you will not get a sign. This generation will not get a sign. They wanted someone to free them from the Romans. The Pharisees thought they were above everyone. They thought they'd been obeying the law, that we are above. Now, if you're going to be the guy that we want you to be, again, listen to that, the guy they wanted him to be, they wanted a sign. They wanted to know that he was going to free them from the Romans. And what did this man come to do? What did Jesus end up doing for the Pharisees? He pointed out their sins. They didn't like that. And Jesus was basically saying, you're not going to get what you want. That's not what I'm here for. So, and again, he says not to tell anyone to the deaf woman or to the deaf man and also to the blind man. Let's skip ahead. I'm not done yet, but let's go ahead. To the next verse, after the blind man, it says in verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples and to the town of Caesar Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto him, whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say, Elijah. And others, one of the prophets. And he saith unto him, but whom saith ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they shouldn't tell no man of him. So, we see him heal a blind man. He's a healer. But when he asked who people thought who he was, people thought he was a prophet, like Elijah, John the Baptist. Why would they think that? I mean, well, if you look at all the people that came to Jesus, they wanted one thing. Majority of them came for one reason. They were in a desperate state, and they wanted healing. Like I said earlier about the lame man, he didn't say the first thing he said. He didn't say, get up and walk, take your bed and walk. That's not the first thing he said. He says, your sins are forgiven. What does the Bible say Jesus came for? He said, I came to seek and to save. He didn't say, I came to heal and protect, which is the signs kind of that the Pharisees wanted. They wanted a man that was going to free them from the Romans. But he had bigger things. He had to tell us, he had to humble us that we are sinners, and he wants to save us from our sins. So here these people were coming. You see multitudes of people that came because they wanted to be healed. They wanted someone that was going to heal him. When the woman touched his garment, you know, he didn't stop because he said, oh, I need to find a who just got healed by my garment. He said there was a woman of virtue. He was reaching for the heart. Every time when Mary at the wedding, the very first miracle, he was like, woman, this is really not, you know, he's basically saying, this is my ministry. We're about to start here. That's not what I was here for. Did he do it? Did he heal people? Absolutely. He is the healer. He can heal everything that we have. He is the creator, the healer, the author, and the finisher. But who is he to us? He asked Peter, or he asked the disciples, and Peter answers, and he saith, thou art the Christ. Peter was finally like the blind man. He was seeing clearly. He was finally seeing him clearly. I was thinking of an example of how to picture this, how we see Jesus. And I was guilty of this. Man, I sure do ask for a lot. I sure do go to God and pray for a lot of things. Is praying bad? Absolutely not. He says you have not because you ask not. Any problem I have, he's faithful to hear them. And he's capable of doing it all. You know, we have times where we worship him and we humble ourselves and we do, but is my relationship with him just that? Is a relationship with God just, God, can you help me today? God, can you heal me today? So I thought about this. So Kristen is my wife. She helps the home. She cleans the home. She does dishes. She's my roommate. She helps with my kids. She teaches. I can add all kinds of titles to the things that my wife does. But my relationship with her is not, you're my maid, you're my dishwasher, you're the mother of my kids and their teacher. My relationship with her is she's my wife. You know, she's precious to me. She does a lot of things. She has a lot of titles. She wears a lot of hats for me. She does a lot of actions for me. But she's not those things to me. She's my wife. See, Christ is so much. We could go on for days with the names that's been given because of how faithful he is in all these different ways. We can seek him for any issue. But the main issue, we know, we're sinners. He came to save. He came to be our Savior. Our relationship with him, first of all, is Savior, meaning I am a sinner, I am unworthy, I am nowhere close to being able to do this on my own, and the first thing I need to get straight is that I need you to save me before I can have any needs answered. And you would think, oh, well, okay, that's a once saved, always saved thing, right? And we are. We say that prayer. But how many times do you revisit your salvation? How many times do you think, man, God is good? You know what? Whether I get to eat today, he's done so much more. And he's always faithful. And he always will be. Why? Because he died. He died for me. He loved me so much he didn't stay dead. He rose again. My sins are forgiven. And you know what? If tomorrow's needs don't get met, it's okay. Because I serve a risen Savior. I'm not seeking him for a healer. You know, this is Thanksgiving season. It's coming this week. We have a lot to be thankful for. But Jesus is not a healer. He's not our need maker. He is our Savior. You know, the hymn says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Do we live that way? Or do we constantly seek Him because of our petitions? And does our faith show it? You know, again, like the disciples, they said, man, we're out of bread again. We're out of bread again. Our needs are going to be there tomorrow. They're going to be there the next day. They're going to constantly be here because you know what? This life is that way. But you know what's not there tomorrow? Our sins. Because they're already forgiven. Here we are looking at all our needs that come every day. But we don't even have to look forward to our sins not being forgiven because they've already have been. So here we are burdened by the things that this life gives us. And we're worried about them when He says, I've taken care of the biggest thing, so you know I'm going to take care of the rest. He's faithful, and He always will be. So do you, here's the eye test, do you see as men as trees walking? I mean, these disciples, every day you saw a miracle done and you still worry. And as we come to Thanksgiving again, we think about what we're thankful for, and He says, look at the baskets you had left over. You had 7. You had 12. God is so good. He gives us more than what we need. He gives us forgiveness of our sins and the needs. I can speak personally. You know, when I moved to Indiana, it was a big thing when I moved here. I lived here forever. And then with me and Kristen, 5 years. It was a big move. It cost a lot of money. It wasn't easy. I didn't have a house. Lived in a camper for a year. And you didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I was working at Amazon. And you're just like, okay, what's going to get me there the next day? Well, the same person that was there yesterday. And despite all the burdens that came with moving, God blessed, you know. It reminds me even of the time. So when I worked there 2 years ago, I worked at a women's prison. You see a lot of people in need, a lot of people. People that are in need because they were just put in bad situations. And people that are, you know, there because they did wrong. You know, they're no different. They all need one thing. You see their attitude, response even to the gospel shows their heart. My pastor was actually talking because he preaches now at that prison, and he even said he could see a difference that you can't change. He said something in his message that made them kind of amen, and the women at the prison really amen. They really get into it. And he said, all he said is you can't change the heart to make the actions change. There's no class for it because they in the prison they take a lot of classes and there's a lot of rehab, and these no class or behavior is going to change your heart. You have to change the heart to change the behavior. And boy, they loved it, because here they are, a bunch of people taking classes and people trying to tell them how they can get better. And it's sad because you'll see a lot of repeats. You'll see a lot of them go back. I mean, some can't help it. They get put in a bad situation that they can't get out of. It's all they have. And it's really sad. And it hurts to see it. But I see it's basically two different responses. You see those people, those inmates, they either want the gospel, they want to hear the gospel, they want to know the gospel because they have a lot of needs. They know they've done wrong and they have a lot of needs. And there's just some that say, you know, I don't care about my needs. I need a change. As Christians, we're going to still have needs. But the bigger is, do we need still more changing? Are we still seeing how we can be better? Is our relationship with Christ, God, you're my healer, or God, are you my Savior? I lost my train of thought for a second. We don't see Him for who He is and who He needs to be in our life. You know, no matter what, He's going to be faithful to hear us. He's always going to be faithful to forgive us of our sins. And just remember that. Now I know where I was going. Reminds me of King David. King David was known to be, you know, at the very beginning, he was just a little shepherd boy, little innocent shepherd boy. Kills Goliath, becomes king, has a great relationship with a good Christian young man, Jonathan, and, you know, was taking on the world. But he lost sight. He wasn't seeing things clearly. He lost what Jesus was to him. Gets put in a position where he wasn't where he's supposed to be. And what happens? He slips. He sins. And the very first, one of the biggest quotes that he said after his repentance of his sin, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He says, "I'm no longer seeing you as a healer or a person of need. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want to feel like I was when I got saved again. Restore unto me that joy." Joy you can't lose. Joy is something that you can always hold on to. We can always refer back to our salvation and go, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me." And that's the first thing that David said. "Oh, bring me back to that point. Let me see you as my Savior again." It's never too late. It's always something we can refer to and should refer to every day. You know, thanks the Lord, he still will be there for our needs, and he will hear them, and he will be there. But are we where we need to be for him in our relationship with him? Brother Robbie.
Well, amen. That was a wonderful thought and a good question tonight. So let's just bow our heads, and tonight I'd like to invite you to stand with me for this time of invitation where we're able to take the Word of God and just apply it to our lives. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart during the message, and you want to talk to God about how you're seeing the Lord. Maybe tonight you want to get a little closer to God, ask him to draw nigh to you. Brother James told us that if we draw nigh to the Lord, he will draw nigh to us. So as we make that effort, as we reach out to God for change, as we ask him to help us, we can be better, we can grow, and we can close the gap. So if you're not seeing clearly tonight, if you don't feel as close to the Lord as you'd like to, I want you to know that gap can be removed. God wants to be close to you. Let's take some time during this invitation to do what God wants us to do. Is he speaking to your heart tonight? You come. Step out. Find a place here. Meet the Lord at an altar. Use the front pew here, whatever's convenient. Let's take some time and talk to the Lord tonight. Stay close to him.